Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message.
I'm just thrilled to be able to welcome to the platform today a representative from Bridges for Peace, Dr. Bill Adams. He's been here before. It's not new for him to be here. But this church, we have a love for Israel. Now, that's not always geopolitical Israel. I get it. We have a love for the nation of Israel. Why? Because God has a love for the nation of Israel. God chose the nation of Israel, actually made them a nation, in order that they might bring his message, birth his Messiah, and bless his multitudes. Israel is important to us. They are the key to prophecy. They're the key to understanding where life is going. And Jesus made them that way. Well, I'm glad that Bridges for Peace exists. You probably saw his display outside there. And I'm going to welcome Dr. Bill Adams at this time. If you come and speak to us, sir, about Bridges for Peace and what God has put on your heart today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Doug. Good morning, and thank you, Pastor Doug, and all the family here welcoming me on behalf of the team in Jerusalem that sends shalom greetings from Jerusalem, and our team in the U.S., which is in where I hail from in Florida. That's Melbourne, Florida. And we're nine nations around the world where God has established the work of Bridges for Peace. But our primary emphasis is in Israel, where we are serving and standing among the Jewish people, particularly those that God is regathering to the land of Israel. So if you would, team, bring up that PowerPoint. And tell me what city you see there. I see scripture. That's a good thing. And I'm going to invite you to open to Acts chapter 1 as well. Yes. The city of the great king, Jesus called it. And who's the great king? But Jesus himself. Yes. Jerusalem, the city of peace. You know, it's the nexus of redemption history. It's where gospel mission began. And you know where it will conclude? In Jerusalem. I wonder here, who's walked these streets? Or who wants to? That should be, I hope, a lot of show of hands. Yes. You know, some process this city as past, and there's a lot of past. There's amazing history. You know, the ancient walls and alleyways tell the biblical story and the glory days even of the kingdom of David and so forth, don't they? Now, others process this Jerusalem future, maybe very even fixated on the amazing destiny that's ahead, Jesus returning to wrap it all up, and even beyond the new Jerusalem that descends from heaven. But let's process this Jerusalem now, in the present, and its amazing rebirth. You see, God is restoring the Jews, the Jewish people from all over the earth, to the land of Israel. And the place you really go to when you go to return to Israel is called Zion, which is Mount Zion, where Jerusalem is. It's Jerusalem ascending. The term in the Hebrew is Aliyah. You might hear me use that term. Going up to Zion is returning, immigrating to the land of Israel. Well, that's the center of it right there, the city of the great king. You know, it's a very real place, real people, real noise, some trash here and there, right? It's real. And it's thriving. But it's thriving simply because it's in Jewish hands again. It suffered vast destructions and demise under the Gentiles' hands. I'm a Gentile. You probably are. We're of the nations. We're not Jewish. So why do we care? Why are we involved? Well, more Christians than ever are recognizing the root of our faith. That our very Lord Jesus, yes, is Jewish, and all this was birthed out of this people, and it's getting concluded among this people. And so we're praying. We're praying all the more, aren't we, for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122. And I invite you to join that number. If it's just something you haven't maybe stepped into, consider adding into your prayer life, praying in a devoted way, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And you know, when you're praying for that, you're not just praying for an absence of conflict, that kind of peace. You're praying for the Prince of Peace himself, Jesus our Lord, to come again. And in his coming, all that will be done to bring about that day that he will be called home. So Bridges for Peace is there, as I mentioned, on the ground over 55 years now, being among those, helping those particularly who are returning from the lands of their dispersion for over 2,000 years now, coming in to the land of Israel. I thought by video we could take a short look at what some of that looks like, a good report. It's just a good testimony of what those here who are praying, maybe you're giving. Maybe you will be one who's praying and giving as a result of this testimony. Then this is a thanks to you and an encouragement to keep it up. If you would, friends, roll the report from 2021.
Bridges for Peace. Christians supporting Israel and building relationships between Christians and Jews in Israel and around the world. Bridges for Peace, 50 years of blessing Israel and the church through compassion and revelation. Compassion. Feeding Israel's hungry. Caring for Israel's needy. Repairing homes. Giving hope to children in poverty. Helping the Jewish people return to their ancient homeland. Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Revelation, bringing the Bible to life in its ancient context, revealing the truth of Israel's prophetic significance, telling the story of Israel's miraculous rebirth, connecting Christians and the Jewish people through a grassroots global team of Christian representatives. For God's instruction shall go forth from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Bridges for Peace, a Matthew 25 ministry dedicated to supporting the nation of Israel and bridging the centuries-old gap between Christians and Jews. Bridges for Peace, your Israel connection.
That explains generally the work of Bridges for Peace, and specifically, let me tell you some numbers, like 23,000 a month are being fed. 1,700 homes have been repaired, particularly for new immigrants to help have a better standard of living for them. 60 organizations that we're partnered with for ongoing help in the land, and 22 communities that we have, that we've adopted. Those communities are friends of ours from places like Beit Shemesh and Ariel. You know, that was just in the news, through the ongoing terror activity that Israel has to try to put up with and manage, a security guard from Beit Shemesh that we're partnered with was serving in Ariel that we're partnered with, and he was killed just yesterday. And he was protecting his fiance, who was a security guard with him, and he shielded her from a hail of bullets, and he died, and she was actually untouched, except, of course, a wounded heart. See, this is the people of Israel. This is who we're among. It's a very, like I mentioned, Jerusalem is real. Israel's real. Real people, real hurts, real hopes and dreams. And so we are among them and serving them and getting to show them who their Messiah is and then answer their questions as they begin to say, wait a minute, we thought Christians just rejected us for not believing in Jesus. Why are you serving us? What is this faith that you have? It seems different than what we've ever been told or understood or even seen. So that's the work of Bridges for Peace. And then far beyond, things like being in the schools, 350 school children each day are getting hot lunches that they wouldn't get otherwise. What does that do for a child? Well, it helps them with their education. We're also supplying books and materials that they don't get unless the parents can afford them. And they can't in many cases, about a 24-25% poverty rate in Israel, coming through the social services of Israel, but a very overloaded tax system because they're constantly absorbing new immigrants. And what's making the immigration even up and accelerated right now? Two factors. One, COVID, immigration, Aliyah, way up, and Ukraine. And we'll talk more about that. Let's look in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1. If you would bring up my next slide, please. We're in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, right at the beginning of Acts. Luke is writing, and he says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit he had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, friends, imagine, just think about it, the resurrected Jesus who we're celebrating this morning, and he's resurrected from his suffering, his death, his burial. He's resurrected to give us eternal life, and he's the one with nail-scarred hands who's teaching these disciples, now called apostles because they're being sent. He's teaching them of what? Of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And what schooling that is. They've already had their 3 years of training, but now they are getting what they probably never quite understood, the nature of his kingdom. And in the midst of that, they ask him a question. By the way, this is pictured here, the Mount of Olives that you see. That's a cemetery spreading over it. It's the largest Jewish cemetery in the world. And that's the same place that Jesus stood and said these words and then ascended into heaven. Then the angel said, you know, why are you looking up and wondering? He'll be coming back the way he came. So he's coming back to this spot, the Mount of Olives. And the prophets tell us what will be happening when that happens. But next slide, please. And continuing in Acts chapter 1, just a few verses later, therefore, when they had come together, they, the disciples, his apostles, asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and how far? To the ends of the earth. From the context of their question that we've just established, you know, his training them on the kingdom, them being born of the Spirit now, the resurrected Lord, their master and teacher, and then they say, therefore, or the scripture says, therefore, there's a connection. It's evident that Jesus has been teaching them that some important kingdom events are about to happen. And they're connected. And the disciples are asking more about it. One is just about to happen now. It's going to happen in the next few verses of Scripture. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out and birth the church. And the followers of Jesus, of which there'll be many more in just a few minutes of this telling, right? They're going to be made witnesses to go where? Ultimately, to the ends of the earth, starting in Jerusalem, where, remember I said at the beginning, it's the nexus, it's the crossing point, it's the beginning and the ending of redemption history. But something else is being indicated, and the disciples ask the question. What was it? Will you, at this time, restore the kingdom to Israel? You know, some teach that that's a wrong question. There go those disciples again. You know how the disciples got things wrong frequently, and Jesus would have to rebuke them, I think always lovingly, but rebuke them nonetheless. Do you know Jesus would never, he's never known for answering a wrong question. He just sees the wrongness in it, he sees the wrong motive, and he redirects it. And he might tell a parable before and by way of bringing an answer. But in this case, he answers the question. Did he say, yes, it's time for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel? No. Did he say, no, it's not time for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel? His answer, in effect, is not yet. What I want to suggest to you is this is a very good question. And again, in context of him teaching them of the kingdom, their ability to ask good questions, the fact that he answers it, but he's telling them it's not yet. But when it comes, it's going to be as a result of what? The other big kingdom event, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, the gospel from Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And here we are. Here we are on the banks of the Mississippi River. This counts as the ends of the earth. Every point of the globe out from that center is the ends of the earth. And here we are making disciples this very moment. And you need to be one and go make other disciples, because this gospel is going forth. And when the gospel has been preached in every nation, land, tongue, tribe, then the end will come. Let us get to that in our next slide. Looking again at the Great Commission. And that term, whoever came up with it, commission, is an excellent term. And I ask you to think about it. Whose mission is it that I've been describing? Whose mission? It's his. Jesus Christ, the head of the church, is on mission. He will accomplish it. But who's co-missionized with him? That's his, us. He's got us. So see, you don't even carry the burden of this mission, but you do decide whether to agree and go and follow him or not. And you will be doing that, church, I know. In this great co-mission that birthed right out of Jerusalem, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. And I'm just referencing these passages. You can turn to them if you'd like, or just make note. Matthew 28, you're familiar with it. Matthew 28, 18, aren't you? Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And you might say, yeah, heard it. I know that. I'm even a part of it. But this is absolutely stunning. This is a landmark moment in the life of Israel for Jesus to say this. You see, until now, he had not let his disciples go to the Gentiles. That's the nations. Just substitute the word Gentiles for nations a little bit, and you'll start to understand. Oh, he's talking about the ethnos, the people groups. He held them back in his earthly ministry. Oh, just little glimmers and glimpses of what the prophet said, that this gospel, this message will go forth to the nations, the Gentiles. But he held them back, and he, what did Jesus say? My calling is to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you know he did that? We talk in terms of, well, Israel didn't believe. The Jews didn't believe. Well, some did, and they turned the world upside down. That's the ones we're talking about. The ones that did are the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and Jesus absolutely called them forth, made them his own, and launched his gospel. And that's why we believe it today, is because a handful of Jews believed and brought it forth. Okay, so we bless and we thank the nation of the origin of our faith, okay? That's another Bridges for Peace thing. Let's stop cursing and start blessing. In this landmark moment, Jesus now is commissioning his Jewish disciples to the nations, to us, to the Gentiles. Here we are. And I wonder, when you picture the nations, do you picture a global map? That's not bad. You know, maybe different colored nations, you know, the way they would portray them on a globe or map, lines between them. I just don't think God, biblically speaking, is looking at it that way. Again, remember, it's the people groups. He sees the peoples. He loves the peoples. He loves them all the same, by the way. He doesn't love the people Israel more than the people something else. He just chose them for a very specific and burdensome heavy-duty requirement in the earth, and they have suffered much to carry it out. And they, when they failed, they've been judged. But they have, as a remnant, because God will make sure, carried it out, and so we bless them. You see, it's something like my wagon wheel here. That's a little bit of Midwest that I brought here from Florida today here on my slide. And I imagine you see old wagon wheels here and there, right? Maybe you still have an old wagon that's useful. But why the wagon wheel? Okay, that chosen nation, Israel, the hub of the wheel. All the other nations arrayed out like the spokes on the wheel, emanating out, and it's a continuous whole, and God loves it all, and he's working with it all, but here's how he looks at the nations. Those spokes, how are you dealing with my nation, that hub? Are you blessing or are you cursing? I will bless those that bless this nation, Genesis 12, Abraham, renewed covenant through Isaac and Jacob, that people, yes. We call them the Jews today. I will bless, I will curse. That's the nature of the wagon wheel. Keep that hub in perspective. He placed the nation, and Israel is always referenced in terms of a singular nation, the nation, at the center of the nations, that's all the rest of us, plural, requiring them to bless and not curse this nation. Through this nation, he brought, think about what he brought through this hub, the word of God that we opened this morning, the covenants that were spoken, the land promise, the law. Though we aren't under the law is the basis for Israel's existence and survival by keeping it, and it's what establishes our need for the Messiah, who also, the Savior Jesus, comes from this people, this hub, in fulfillment of the very Jewish prophets who spoke over and over. So the gospel is preached from this nation, Jerusalem, and the King of Jerusalem, and much more. You see, our missionary endeavors, when you think about it, would do well to align with God's ordering of the nations. It's simple. Bless the nation, don't forget, bless the nation and go to the nations with this gospel. The next reference scripture, Matthew 24 and 14, Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." That sounds ominous, doesn't it? The end? Well, doomsday? No, not for the saints. That means the ones who are in Christ. No. The end means kingdom mission accomplished. It's the fullness of the king's reign. He ends up, the King Jesus ends up handing the kingdom over to his Father, 1 Corinthians 15. And how do we know when that has come? How do we know when it's complete? We're talking about, remember the disciples' question again, the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. What's that look like? Well, we know ultimately from Revelation 7, 4 to 9, all nations, all tribes, all peoples, all tongues. You see, they're all there. They're all represented. I mean, it's done. This gospel does go forth from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and out to all the ends of the earth, and all the nations are there represented. But what about Israel? Remember the 144,000, and people have come up with all kinds of wild ideas about what that number is. It's simply a multiple of 12. It's 12 times 12,000. It's a way that Revelation speaks to say complete. The 12 tribes are represented. God knows how many exactly. God knows who exactly. But he doesn't leave out any of the nations or the nation, including all 12 of its tribes. You see, we know it's going to be something on earth, but we know eternity, that unseen kingdom that's invading earth, that new heaven, new Jerusalem, new earth, it's all about the answer to the question the disciples asked him that day. Are you now restoring the kingdom to Israel? Well, hold on. It's coming. First, let's get to the nations. Do you see the plan of God? Look at the next slide. Peter stands up just a short time after this dialogue and after the outpouring of the Spirit. And the people are wondering now, what's going on? What's happening? And he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I mentioned in Bible study this morning, or Sunday school, and that group got a little insight on what I'm speaking on right now, is that Peter preached a message of salvation, so appropriate for the moment, using the prophecy from Joel, concluding at the point with, you see all these things that are happening, Joel spoke of it, this is that which Joel spoke of. He stops at the point of salvation, but this is something we learned from the rabbis, is that when you quote a part of a passage, you're quoting or you're referencing all of the passage that applies. And if you go back and look at Joel's prophecy, you'll see that Peter stopped mid-verse, according to our verses we have today. But he stopped right in there, because the rest of it, guess what it is? This will blow you away. It's the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. Peter understands it's not now, not yet, is the answer to that question, that time-sensitive question. Is it now? Not yet is a time-sensitive answer. So that's our story today. The rest of the story from Acts, that's why I put 32a, he who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's where Peter preaches to. Then 32b, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. And then it speaks of bringing back the captives. That's the return to Zion that we're seeing now in force since the mid-1800s, returning, gathering all the nations. All the nations, those spokes of the wheels, are called into judgment by God for how they have treated the nation. And that's Matthew 25, goat nations and sheep nations. And then he enters into judgment with them in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. That's the Kidron Valley, the same valley where Jesus took the judgment for sin, our sin, your sin, mine, upon him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Same valley, same place the nations then are judged, at the base of the Mount of Olives. Don't you see that God has a plan for a land and a people and his gospel and in the nations and the nation? He's just working it all together, and you see it in the rest of the story when it's time to preach it from Joel chapter 2, that this, brethren, this regathering and his preparation now for his return and the judgment of the nations is that which also the prophet spoke. We're in that season, friends. None of us know quite the times or exactly when, but we know the season. That's why it's a good thing to, again, to bless and not curse what God is doing, what he's doing in the return to Zion. And so here it is. We're seeing the restoration of the kingdom of to Israel in our time. It's bigger than just the land and the earth. We know it goes eternal, and we see the new Jerusalem ultimately coming down from heaven. So I appeal to you to look with missional intentionality for evidence of prophecy fulfilled. We ask the question, is this that? Is it now? Is the Lord calling the remnant of Israel home? And there's one way we mentioned earlier that it's happening in accelerated ways, and that's when there's crisis somewhere, like in Ukraine right now. What's happening with all the heartache of Ukraine? What's happening? God is bringing all the more Jews home to the land of Israel. I have a short video to show you Jews coming home. They've come from nations all around the world. Over 100 nations have even emptied of their Jews. And this is, you know, strong indication, of course, that yes, this is that time of the regathering. We ought to be quite alert, aware, praying, and maybe even giving and serving and blessing and all of that, because this is the time of their regathering. Take a look, though, at the coming home to Israel of some of the suffering ones of Ukraine. If you would roll video for me.
On Wednesday night, Bridges for Peace was on the tarmac as a plane load of Jewish refugees from the Ukraine touched down here in Israel. They were rescued and evacuated from the midst of the horrible war raging in Ukraine and brought here to safety in Israel. The rescue operation is ongoing as 100,000 more Jewish people remain in the Ukraine. It's an operation that is costly, an operation that is deadly, an operation often conducted under fire, but an operation that is so, so worthwhile. To save a life is like saving a universe, the Jewish writings teach. And on Wednesday night, we saw 140 saved lives descend from the plane.
With all our friends at Bridges for Peace, my name is Shmulik, I'm from Keren Hayesod in Jerusalem. I want to thank you. I'm in Ben-Gurion Airport right now, welcoming 140 Jewish people that we have just managed to evacuate and save from Ukraine. With your support, with your prayer, those people are coming from all over Ukraine. They left their family behind. Men cannot leave, and we have managed to bring them back home. There are thousands more that are waiting for us to rescue them, and we could do it with your help and your support. So may the God of Israel bless you, and thank you for standing with Israel in this critical time. Shalom.
Lives that were saved with the help of Christians from around the world. Lives that were saved with your help. What a blessing. What an honor and what a privilege. This is what you are part of.
What Bridges for Peace has also been privileged to do over the years, I mentioned some things in the land of Israel before, which includes helping with the absorption of so many immigrants, with new immigrant household supplies and repair of homes and all of that. But we've, over just the past few years, we've helped 14,000 Ukrainian Jews already make Aliyah. Remember that word? Going up to Zion. Now it's accelerating to where 6,000 to 10,000 Ukrainian Jews are coming into Israel every month. And we're privileged again to be helping with many of those through like the Karen Hayesod Foundation that you saw, thanking us for our partnership. What a privilege it is. But, you know, just to put it in perspective, our Project Rescue teams in Ukraine and all the surrounding former Soviet republics have been hard at work for years. Over 86,000 total have been brought home. And by the way, did you notice he said they're coming home? It isn't because they lived there and went away. No, they've never been to Israel. They're coming home because Israel is home. This is such a deep-rooted understanding. And this is what God is doing. He says, where's your home? I'm calling you back home. And you make Aliyah to get there. Okay, well, Igor and Ala have been working in Moldova for years. They helped 93 last year make Aliyah. Already just in this year, they've helped 2,117 make Aliyah. So you can see the people that are at work, and none of them have left, by the way. Our workers are just in Ukraine and in the countries where, you know, everyone, including the Jews, are evacuating to, helping them return to come home to Zion. So is this that time? What do you think? By the way, it's just another wave. There have been waves from countries as God brings them home, and this will be now recorded and known as the wave from Ukraine. So just keep in mind, God is bigger. Even there's much suffering and heartache. I don't want to minimize it, but just remember, God is bigger. He's bringing everything into order, ultimately the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. And I just want to give you one last short video of a song I love. Now, it's a little bit sappy, and it's even a little bit of a folksy kind of song, but I think that's appropriate for us here too today. But it's being sung by young Jewish men who have all served in the army, even together, and they formed a wonderful singing group. They sing a cappella, and it's called Kippah Live. Kippah is the hat, you know, the little yarmulke we often call it? That's the kippah. It means hat. What a technical word, huh? Hat. And the Jewish observant man, you know, keeps his head covered before God to say he's under God's authority. Anyway, that's these guys singing. But what are they singing? They're singing, "We Are Home." After 2,000 years, we're home. And they also sing this. They say, "And we'll never stand alone." And I know from the Jew who is home in the land of Israel, I know they're singing about their fellow Jews now. They're standing together. They're standing against the onslaught of evil that wants to destroy them, because the Holocaust isn't over, friends. It just manifests in other forms. But I really want to hope and say, by testimony of Bridges for Peace and other ministries, because of you that could care and pray and give and go to serve, and we need more servants in the land, by the way. Post-COVID, we've got to rebuild our volunteer strength. What am I saying? We are part of them not standing alone. I really believe that. And ultimately, their Messiah, our Savior, Jesus, the one that they'll call home to home, that's who they ultimately are not alone, but he's with them as we pray and then believe for the revelation of him in their hearts. So please, if you would, share this song with me.
על אדמתי צדתי, עברי עתידי, זה ביתי.
Back to Jerusalem to close us out here. Jesus speaks to a city. He speaks to a people, Jerusalem, and he says, you will not see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, meaning, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, Jerusalem is preparing to call him home. The return to Zion is well underway. The expectation of the king's coming is rising among God-fearing Jews, and the church is praying for Jesus to be revealed, and we're aiding in the return to Zion. So think about it. Why would you miss what God is doing? And answering that question, is it now? Oh, now is closer, my friends, every minute. I thank you for listening to me today. God bless you.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.